live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. It's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Q&A. I'm DJ Phone with a really interesting show for you today, as we always try and get for you. My first guest today is going to be a former U.S. Treasury official. He was the legal counsel for the U.S. Treasury. He was also a legal counsel to President Ronald Reagan and Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. His name is Peter Wallison. Now, Peter has written a new book. It's called Judicial Fortitude: The Last Chance to Rein in the Administrative State. Now, that's a very powerful book, and he's got some very cogent things to say in the interview. That'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Also, if you were ever a fan of the TV series Friends, which of course ran for 10 years on NBC in prime time, it's still wildly popular. I think something like 16 million people watch it in reruns. Well, don't miss my chat coming up after the news and weather break with Link. It'll be Kelsey Miller. She is a Friends fanatic who has written a new book called I'll Be There For You, which tells you everything you've ever wanted to know about the show and its cast, its directors, producers, writers, the whole bit. So, really interesting show for you today, veering from the dead serious to the kind of frilly and fun stuff. As you know, we always welcome your questions and comments about Q&A. Just drop me an email at djphone, that's D-J-F-O-N-E, at kqna.com. Well, the Arizona Cardinals are now in their bye week, and we'll see if they bid bye to anybody as a result of the struggles this season. I do know that they're going to make a big inroads and improve their record next year. They may want to try and play the San Francisco 49ers maybe eight times next year. That would help. The Niners do really seem to have a problem against the Cardinals. Cardinals have beaten them now eight straight times. Hey, the Tuesday Night Classic Series continues tomorrow at the Harkins 14 with a Halloween classic, Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street. And on tomorrow's show, I will have some details about that movie that you will thoroughly enjoy if you're a fan of Freddy Krueger. Coming up Wednesday, Halloween night at the Prescott Elks Theater. It's The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick film starring Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, and Scatman Crothers. So if you missed The Shining last week at the Harkins, you can catch it on the big screen this week anyway, Halloween night, 7 o'clock at the Prescott Elks Theater. Hey, speaking of Halloween, you know, Halloween is all about candy, of course, and it's interesting how many different candy brands got their start during different decades. Now, of course, if you're a little kid and the candy brand had just come out, you think it's always been there. But if you were born in the 1930s, that was when Three Musketeers, Snickers, and Tootsie Pops came out. In the 1940s, M&M's got their launch largely because of American military infantry men who could take it with them, and it really would melt in your mouth, not in your hand. Also in the 40s, Junior Mints and Fun Dip, which we call Lick-A-Maid, they came to bear in the 1940s. In the 1950s, the Ferrara Pan candy Hot Tamales became a big item, as well as Pixie Sticks, again, Lick-A-Maid, and Pez and Pez dispensers, which every kid had to have in the 50s. In the 1960s, Starburst, Swedish Fish, and the Nestle 100 Grand Bar came to be. In the 1970s, it was Reese's Pieces, Pop Rocks, and Twix. Now, Reese's Pieces, you may have heard the story. The reason it was in the movie E.T. was because Steven Spielberg's production company went to M&M Mars and said, hey, we would like to put some M&Ms out as a bait to lure E.T. out into the kids. And we want $50,000 for the product placement fee. And as the legend goes, supposedly true, that M&M Mars said, we're not paying you $50,000 for that. So they went to Hershey, who owned Reese's Pieces. Hershey said, yeah, we'll do it. Well, for that $50,000, let's just say it was a real good investment for Reese's Pieces. Then in the 1980s, we had the debut of Airheads and Sour Patch Kids and Score. And and then the 1990s, Starburst, Jelly Beans, Dove Chocolates, and Baby Bottle Pops. And seeing those references to Fun Dip in the 40s and Pixie Sticks in the 50s, I, as an occupation, spent 7 years making those candies. And, of course, as a little kid, enjoyed them, too. So, stay tuned. We've got a very serious discussion coming up with Peter Wallison, who advised President Ronald Reagan, Vice President Nelson Rockefeller, and the U.S. Treasury. That is coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live around the world at KQNA.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shops? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
When Doug Ducey ran for governor, he promised to serve all Arizonans. Doug has kept that promise, serving our rural communities. Water is a fundamental resource and essential to Arizona's economy. Arizona has always been a national leader in water management. Today, Governor Ducey is working to secure our water rights for future generations. Ducey understands Arizona must speak with one voice when it comes to this vital resource. He's promoting responsible conservation and groundwater management while protecting consumers. To keep our borders secure and our families safe, Ducey deployed the National Guard to our southern border and created the Border Strike Force to crack down on human trafficking and stop the flow of drugs and weapons. And Ducey is safeguarding our gun rights, ensuring responsible gun owners have their Second Amendment rights protected. A governor for all of Arizona, Doug Ducey, securing Arizona's future. Paid for by Ducey for Governor. Authorized by Ducey for Governor.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
David Stringer says he's conservative, but he supported a marijuana industry plan that could send drug abuse through the roof. He voted to let healthcare providers give marijuana to opioid addicts. It's a terrible idea. Research shows pot makes opioids harder to quit. I'm Dr. Ed Gogek. I work with drug addicts. Elect me to the legislature, and next time the marijuana industry pushes a dangerous scheme, I will be there to push back. Paid for by Ed Gogek for state representative, authorized by Ed Gogek.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. I have on the line Peter J. Wallison. He is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He's the author of the new book, Judicial Fortitude, The Last Chance to Rein in the Administrative State. Now, Mr. Wallison, I have to ask you, first of all, why did you write Judicial Fortitude, The Last Chance to Rein in the Administrative State?
I've been quite worried for many years about the possibility that the agencies of the executive branch, and these are all the agencies starting with cabinet departments like the Treasury Department all the way down to, say, the SEC, which is an independent agency, had gotten too much authority from the courts to interpret the statutes that had given that Congress had provided, giving them authority. They were beginning to extend their activities and their powers beyond what Congress actually authorized. And so I thought it was necessary to write about this, to explain to people who are interested in the subject how this occurred and what the courts would have to do to rein in the administrative state agencies so that the people of the United States were actually more in charge than they have been of what their government is doing.
Now, Mr. Wallison, you were general counsel of the Treasury Department from 1981 to 85. You were White House counsel for President Reagan from 86 to 87. Now, given that background, what exactly, in layman's terms, is the administrative state?
Well, the administrative state is made up of these agencies of the federal government, starting with the cabinet agencies at the top all the way down to the smaller agencies or independent agencies like the SEC. And there are hundreds of them. And their powers have developed significantly over time, largely because of the things that the courts have done to allow them to interpret their own authority from Congress. No agency can act other than under a law from Congress. And what has happened is that over time, the courts have allowed them to interpret their own powers under the law, and that has enabled them to issue huge numbers of rules and regulations that the American people actually have not had a chance through Congress to vote on. So, for example, since 1993, that's only 25 years, mm-hmm. In every year, these agencies have issued over 3,000 rules and regulations for a total during this period of over 101,000 rules and regulations. So we can understand that they're out of control here, and something has to be done to bring them back into some sort of relationship to what Congress has actually allowed them or empowered them to do.
Now, in your book, Judicial Fortitude, you argue that rulemaking by unelected officials with little congressional or judicial oversight affects the lives of Americans in profound ways. What are the major consequences of the administrative state's rise on the American people and on our government?
Well, I think the most important thing of all is that what the framers of our Constitution created was a democratic republic. Congress, elected by the people, was supposed to make all the laws. And to the extent that laws are being made by administrative agencies, that's a violation of the whole premise of a constitutional democratic republic, where it is the priorities of the people of the United States that are important. They're the ones who, through Congress, who are making the laws. But if the administrative state agencies, if these agencies of the executive branch are allowed to extend their powers beyond what Congress has authorized, the effect really is to say that the priorities of the American people in the future will be the priorities of the people who are operating these agencies, which all are around Washington, D.C., and which have their own particular thoughts about what is good for the country. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't allow that in a democracy. It's the people of the entire country the United States as a whole, influencing Congress, who should determine what rules and regulations they're going to be subject to.
Now, the framers of the Constitution anticipated that the legislative branch would be the most powerful of the three, but today Congress, you say, is by far the weakest. How did that occur?
Well, it occurred in part because of the development of a political party system in the country. I think the framers did not really consider that political parties could become so powerful. But once they developed, and once it occurred that the same political party controlled both Congress and the president, the inclination of the Congress, especially after the New Deal period when the president became so important, the inclination of the Congress was to give the president, if he was of the same political party as Congress was controlled by at the time, to give him much more power. So that sort of began the process of creating a large number of administrative agencies that had a lot of power that Congress had voted for because they were trying to help the president in power, who was of their own party. Another factor, which is very important, I think, and covered in the book, is that Congress began to understand that if they gave the president or the administrative agencies a lot of discretionary authority, the Congress itself didn't have to make the tough decisions that would ordinarily come with drafting very tightly drawn legislation. All they had to do was hand over the decisions to an administrative agency, and then they could go to their constituents and say, you see, I've solved the problem. I have voted for the Clean Air Act, or I voted for the Clean Water Act. But both of those very important statutes simply handed the power to make the major decisions, such as who would bear the costs and what waters were going to be subject to regulation, how far that regulation would extend down to individual properties. All of those decisions were to be made by the administrative agencies. And so when constituents complain to congressmen about the rules that they are subject to, Congress members would simply say, oh, well, I didn't vote for that. That's the administrative agency. But what the many constituents never understood is that Congress really did vote for that by handing all the powers over to the administrative agency. And that's not what the framers had contemplated.
Now, in your book, Judicial Fortitude, you highlight the importance of the Supreme Court's 1984 Chevron versus NRDC decision in strengthening the power of executive agencies at the expense of Congress. What did the Chevron case decide? What was its impact?
The Chevron case was a unanimous decision of the Supreme Court, which fundamentally said that instead of the courts deciding how much power the administrative and regulatory agencies would have, the agencies themselves would decide that question, and the courts would approve it if the courts thought the decision was reasonable. That turns on its head the idea that with which the whole structure of the Constitution was developed, and that is that the courts would interpret the laws that were passed by Congress. Here, in the Chevron case in 1984, Congress was, the Supreme Court was saying the opposite, and that is the agencies were supposed to interpret the laws, how far the laws extended, how much power they received from Congress, and the courts had to approve it if they thought what the agencies had done was reasonable. That isn't the way the system ought to work, and what I think is going to happen with five a majority of five constitutionalists on the Supreme Court today, after Brett Kavanaugh has been confirmed, I think what will happen is that the court will now authorize the lower courts to interpret these statutes for itself and not to not to rely on the decisions of the administrative agencies about how much power they had received from Congress.
Alexander Hamilton called the judiciary the guardian of the Constitution. You contend the courts have largely failed in their obligation to keep the elected branches of government in their proper constitutional roles, correct?
Yes, that is exactly right. And the Chevron case that I was just talking about, Chevron versus NRDC, is a perfect example of that, because the way the courts were supposed to keep the agencies within the, and the executive branch and even the Congress in their proper constitutional roles was to make sure that the laws that Congress passed were interpreted by an independent group of people, and that is, of course, the judiciary, the judges of the courts of the United States.
Now, your book, Judicial Fortitude, argues that the administrative state ultimately threatens our nation with a Brexit-like crisis of legitimacy. How does the administrative state undermine our representative democracy?
What has been happening is that the priorities of the agencies of the administrative state have become the dominant priorities that are coming out of Washington in regulations. And that's understandable because the officials of all of these agencies live in the Washington area. And if they are going beyond what authority they were given by Congress, then they are, in effect, making law. The result of that is eventually, over time, the American people will come to realize that they are being made subject to regulations that they didn't vote for through Congress. And in a democracy, if the people recognize that they have no control over the government, then the government loses its legitimacy. Mm-hmm. And we can see that actually happen because it happened in Britain in 2016 when the British people voted to withdraw from the European Union because they were subject to all kinds of regulations that were made by the European Union and imposed on Britain and in a way that they didn't think they were able to control. That was a perfect example of a loss of legitimacy by a government, in this case, the European Union. And this will happen in the United States unless the American people are satisfied that the rules and regulations that they have to live under were actually made by the people themselves through Congress and not made by a lot of officials in Washington, D.C.
Now, what do you think of legislative attempts such as the RAINS Act to counter the growing influence of executive agencies and restore Congress's lost power?
I don't think that those will work. I appreciate that Congress is attempting always to try to rein in the administrative state itself, and the RAINS Act is one of those laws, but I don't think these are really feasible. Every time, the RAINS Act, for example, requires Congress to approve regulations that have been passed by an administrative agency. And the trouble with that is these regulations are hundreds of pages long. They are very detailed. And the problem is that Congress doesn't have the time or the staff or the inclination to go through these rules line by line to decide whether they like them or they don't like them. So it's not a feasible way to deal with the problem. The feasible way to deal with the problem, I believe, is to have the courts say that whenever a rule or regulation is challenged, a court of the United States, a district court or a court of appeals or the Supreme Court, ultimately, will determine whether the action by the agency was previously properly authorized by Congress. And if it was not, then the matter has to go back for legislation from Congress, not an approval of a regulation, but simply Congress has to give the agency the authority to issue a new regulation.
Mr. Wallace, in your book notes, there are some indications today that several members of the Supreme Court may be willing to modify the Chevron case and resume its role as the, quote, guardian of the Constitution by effectively policing the separation of powers. Are you optimistic that the judiciary will discharge that duty to rein in the administrative state, and will Justice Kavanaugh help create the Supreme Court majority necessary to modify Chevron?
Yeah, I think that with Brett Kavanaugh as the new justice of the Supreme Court, there are five members of the court who are constitutionalists. That is, they understand what the framers intended in the Constitution and want to make sure that those intentions are realized. And so I think they will begin to rein in the agencies principally, initially, by modifying this so-called Chevron case, mm-hmm. so that the agencies are not the ones to decide whether they had actually gotten the necessary power from Congress, but they are instead only able to do the things that the court says they were actually authorized to do by Congress. And until we have that kind of system where the court is making where a court and all the way up to the Supreme Court is actually making those decisions, we will not have a true democracy in this country where the people are actually making the rule through Congress that they want to live under. So I'm optimistic that with five members of the court, that will actually happen in time. And I believe that we are at a time now in our nation's history where we have a chance to make some major changes in a trend that has been worrying me for some time.
And speaking of those changes, one last question. What specific solutions do you recommend to rein in the administrative state, and what practical steps can citizens take to solve the problem and restore our democracy?
Well, I think citizens can make sure that they tell their congressperson that they are disturbed about the amount of regulation that is coming out, and they can also write articles or speak to judges and tell judges that they think that the administrative agencies have taken too much authority on themselves, and we should go back to the original system that the framers devised, and that is for Congress to adopt the laws that the people ultimately live under. But unless we do that, I'm afraid that over time we will have a loss of legitimacy of our government, and that's a very serious and dangerous thing.
The author is Peter Wallison. He was general counsel of the Treasury Department and White House counsel for Ronald Reagan and for Vice President Nelson Rockefeller. The name of his book is Judicial Fortitude, The Last Chance to Rein in the Administrative State. He has also written or co-written Ronald Reagan, The Power of Conviction and the Success of His Presidency. He has also written Hidden in Plain Sight, What Really Caused the World's Worst Financial Crisis and Why It Could Happen Again. Mr. Wallison, how can our listeners learn more about your writings and about the AEI?
Well, I think AEI has a website that your listeners can go to. It's aei.org. On that website, you'll see all the things that are published by the scholars who work at AEI, of which I am one. And if you'd like to look at my particular articles over time, hundreds and hundreds of them, actually. There is a page with my name, Wallison, W-A-L-L-I-S-O-N, where all of those articles are gathered together.
And the name of the book, once again, Judicial Fortitude, The Last Chance to Rein in the Administrative State. Peter J. Wallison, thank you so much for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Stay tuned. There's more coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
When it's so hot that even starting the car becomes an adventure in pain,
ow, 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 ow.
It's time to call 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Always on time, or you don't pay a dime. 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
Recently, there have been reports about changing guidelines for how often most women should have a breast cancer screening. Is every year or every 2 years best? Yavapai Regional Medical Center recommends that you talk to your doctor, who can help guide you towards what's best for your own personal needs. Your doctor will help you consider your age, lifestyle, breast tissue density, and family medical history. From there, a personal screening program, including frequency and type of screening, can be determined. The Breast Care Center at YRMC in Prescott Valley has the resources to fully support your screening needs, from 3D mammography to dedicated breast MRI to assistance with genetic testing. And the Patient Navigator is there to help make your experience as easy as possible. Talk to your doctor or call the Breast Care Center at 928-442-8900 or visit yrmc.org.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
This is State Representative David Stringer. You may be getting tired of the election ads on radio and TV, but this is an important time for our state and our country. Every 2 or 4 years, the people you elect need to come back and report to you on the job they've done. That's the beauty of our system of government. I'm happy to report that in my first term in the state legislature, I've been keeping my promises. I promised to foster economic growth and new jobs, and Arizona is now a national leader in both. I promised to support more funding for our schools, particularly for our teachers and classrooms. I kept that promise, helping to pass the biggest increase in school funding in Arizona history without raising taxes. I promised to work on a fix for I-17, and just this spring, the Department of Transportation announced a plan to build new lanes on I-17 without a tax hike or a toll road. I've kept my promises because that's the kind of representative you deserve. Visit VoteStringer.com to learn more and get involved.
Paid for by Conservatives for Stringer.
When it's so hot that even starting the car becomes an adventure in pain,
ow, 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 ow.
It's time to call 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Always on time, or you don't pay a dime. 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
I want to remind you at 2:34 that coming up this Saturday from 5:30 to 9:30 at the Prescott Resort and Conference Center, it's Habitat for Humanity's annual Tool Belts and Tuxedos Gala. It's $85 for individual tickets, $750 per table, and you can purchase your ticket and be entered into a special early bird drawing. There will be cocktails, elegant dining, silent and live auctions, a wine pull, and a $2,500 raffle grand prize. For information on attending the Tuxedo or Tool Belts and Tuxedos annual gala to benefit 29 years and 88 helped families for Prescott Area Habitat for Humanity, call 928 928- 800-445-8003. That's Prescott Area Habitat for Humanity. You may have heard me earlier talking about different kinds of Halloween candies that became famous during certain decades. Well, in today's edition of the Arizona Republic, on the cover page of the Best Life section, there's a terrific story on how to get creative with your leftover Halloween candy. One suggestion, donate it. What's always a great option when you have more of something than you need? Well, you give it away. For example, Operation Gratitude sends sweets to deployed troops and first responders. Soldiers Angels Treats for Troops ships donated candy to veterans and deployed service members. Also locally, some dentist offices and other businesses hold Halloween candy buybacks in which they trade toothbrushes, floss, or other dental items for candy that they then donate to troops. Always a good idea with that leftover Halloween candy. Then again, if you're a wine lover, there is a wine app, and every wine lover knows this, there's a wine app called Vivino, V-I-V-I-N-O. On that app, they have a wine and candy matchup list, which shows which candies go best with which wines. That's for those wine lovers who steal their kids' Hollywood candy. So enjoy and drink up. It's time now for local and state news and weather with Link, followed by a chat with the author of I'll Be There For You, the ultimate book for Friends fans. That's coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live at kqna.com.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
There's a lot of propane companies out there, but not many that have been around as long as Yavapai Bottle Gas since 1987. Same owners, same values, and same fair pricing. Yavapai Bottle Gas has lots of options, too, like their pre-buy program or budget payment plans. You can always count on Yavapai Bottle Gas for straightforward, professional propane service where you want it, when you want it. Give your friends at Yavapai Bottle Gas a call at 776-9007, and don't forget to say thanks.
Vote for Sandra Kennedy for Corporation Commission. Sandra Kennedy is running for Arizona Corporation Commission. She is a former Corporation Commissioner who will lower utility rates, stop the corruption at the Corporation Commission, and create more solar and renewable energy in Arizona, especially rooftop solar, bringing thousands of jobs to rural Arizona. She will make Arizona the solar capital of the world and stop the corruption that is causing unjustified utility rate increases. Sandra Kennedy was the first to formally call out corruption on the commission. APS Pinnacle West spent millions of dollars in dark money in the last election cycle to keep her from being elected again to the Corporation Commission. And that tells us exactly what we need to know. Sandra Kennedy is who you need to support. If you want someone who will always stand up for you, the consumer, and fight to keep your utility bills lower, vote for Sandra Kennedy. She's on our side, not the utilities. Paid for by Kennedy 2018. Authorized by Kennedy 2018.
Comes to seafood, think small. Sally B's has upped the ante on their all-you-can-eat fish fry on Fridays with new oriental butterfly shrimp. That's right, not only can you get their famous Icelandic cod for one low price, you can save a delicious shrimp like you've never had. Serve with your choice of potatoes, veggies, soup or salad, and a dinner roll. The fish fry is every Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're in the Safeway Shopping Centre in Prescott Valley, Sally B's Cafe.
The 2018 model clearance starts now at Lamb Nissan. Hello, this is Ed Walsh. The 2019 models are on their way, and some are already here. So we're offering huge deals to reduce our 2018 inventory. Save over $5,000 on 2018 Nissan Sentras, now priced under $15,000. Or one of the best-selling SUVs in America, the Nissan Rogue, for under $20,000. You choose either a front-wheel drive for $19,488, or if you need an all-wheel drive, it's only $400 more. Looking for an inexpensive, low-mileage used car? Why not just buy a brand-new 2018 Nissan Versa for only $11,388? Plus, that includes a full warranty. The 2018 model clearance going on now at Lamb Nissan. Hurry in for our best selection. Prices this low won't last long. Visit LambNissan.com for all of our great specials. And come see why so many people come from Phoenix to buy a car in Prescott. I'm Ed Walsh at Lamb Nissan, and we're here to serve.
We're KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk the Quad Cities KQ&A your choice for your Monday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. A terrorism expert at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott isn't surprised that the FBI has arrested a Florida man who allegedly sent mail bomb packages. 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc was arrested Friday and charged with 5 counts, including illegal mailing of explosives. Former President Barack Obama, former Vice President Joe Biden, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton were among those who were sent crude pipe bombs in the mail. Embry-Riddle's Richard Bloom says this shouldn't be considered an act of terror.
This is a very disturbed individual that, because of a special relationship he believes he has with the president.
Bloom says that because the devices didn't explode, investigators had a lot of evidence to work with.
There could be fingerprints, bodily secretions. It's often very easy to figure out where that came from.
At least 13 bombs were mailed to states across the country, including New York, Delaware, California, and Washington, D.C. Watch for delays on Highway 89 and Willow Creek Road.
Lane closures on both north and southbound 89 near Drake Road are scheduled to run from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow and Wednesday. Flaggers and a pilot car will direct drivers through the work zone while pavement repairs are underway. The speed limit will be reduced to 35 miles per hour. Meanwhile, asphalt paving operations are complete along Willow Creek Road in Prescott. Crews are now performing miscellaneous concrete work, minor cleanup activities, and adjusting water valves and raising manhole covers to the finished road grade over the next 2 weeks. Work is taking place along Willow Creek from Mitchell Road to the intersection of Green Lane and Pulliam Drive, and along Gale Gardner Way from Iron Springs to Willow Creek. Work hours are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today through November 9th. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Partly cloudy tonight, a very slight chance of showers tomorrow in the Verde Valley. Expect an overnight low of 45 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 67 tomorrow and a high of 61 on Wednesday. 50 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with a high on Tuesday of 75 and a high on Wednesday of 68. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQ&A.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
An Arizona registered nurse speaks out on healthcare.
My name is Tammy. I'm a nurse, and like so many, I have a pre-existing condition. So I pay close attention to who will protect my healthcare. Martha McSally supports making insurance companies cover pre-existing conditions. Those attack ads are just lies.
Why the false attacks on Martha McSally? Because Kyrsten Sinema wanted to make our healthcare much worse. Sinema's big government healthcare scheme would kick you off your healthcare plan. And experts say it would cause doctor shortages and hospital closings. And you'd pay much higher taxes. In fact, even doubling our federal taxes wouldn't be enough to pay for Sinema's radical healthcare scheme. Kyrsten Sinema's healthcare agenda would be a nightmare for taxpayers and patients alike. The real Kyrsten Sinema is just too radical for Arizona. Defend Arizona, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.defendarizona.org.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. When you watch television, some shows are universally loved. One is Friends. It ran for 10 seasons in prime time. At its peak was a culture-influencing phenomenon. It's still watched by 16 million Americans in reruns. And journalist Kelsey Miller has written a wonderful new book that'll bring back all these memories for Friends fans. It's called I'll Be There For You, The One About Friends. Kelsey, you take us all the way back in your book to the creation of the show. And what would surprise people is maybe its promising, if imperfect, beginnings?
Yeah, I think so. When I look back at the pilot episode, I thought, it's a perfectly fine episode for a sitcom. It is definitely not a spectacular episode of Friends. Friends really, really got better as time went on. I think the critics definitely noticed that. At the beginning, the show was received as, this is just another Seinfeld knockoff, and it's not going to go anywhere. But it really was, not until maybe the end of the first year when the show really found its footing and when audiences began to pick up and it began to snowball into this massive cultural phenomenon.
And to what do you attribute that quick transition into a phenomenon?
I think it's a number of things. I think some of it has to do with the fact that, first of all, the writing is so, so good. And it's just very well produced. And the cast has this incredible charisma and this incredible chemistry between them that really gives a sense of aliveness to the show and to their on-screen friendship. Because, they have this sort of solid off-screen friendship as well. And I think that really shines through and made the show really, really compelling and still makes it compelling now. And, I think part of it is also just the premise of it, which is so simple. It's so funny. People are always wondering, what is it? What is it about Friends? What's that magic secret thing? And I think the secret magic thing is the fact that it's simply a show about friendship. It's a show about the experience of having a close friendship. And that's something that is universal and timeless, and everybody can either relate to or aspire to. Everybody wants that kind of a closeness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of closeness, these are six beloved characters who were largely before the show unknown, except for Courtney Cox. Of course, she was famous for the Bruce Springsteen video. But they formed, I understand, intricate offset bonds as well, and their lives were changed by the show, right?
Absolutely. They really made a very conscious effort in the beginning to foster that friendship. I think they understood very early on that they had to become real friends and real, partners and collaborators, because if the show continued to move forward, it would have been very easy for things to fall apart. If somebody got jealous, or if, for example, somebody was being paid much more or much less than the others, which is why I think it was really crucial that they came together and became friends, but then really became sort of a union of sorts and eventually started negotiating all of their contracts together and, insisted that they all be paid equally. And that lasted for the entire 10-year run of the show.
And it will also last through syndication, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, you also have details about the behind-the-scenes stories, you mentioned the writers, about creative choices that often succeeded but sometimes failed big time.
Yeah. There were a lot of, when you're talking about, I think it's 236 episodes, I think it's going to take some effort and you're not going to win them all. There are some episodes, especially early on, that when I look back, they're not even offensive. They're just kind of weird. Like, there's this one episode where David Schwimmer plays another character named Russ, and he's just wearing prosthetic makeup, and he looks sort of like himself, but just a little bit different, and it just doesn't seem to make any sense. But then, I don't know. I think it's you win some, you lose some, because there are some really goofy things that happen later on in the series. Like, in season 10, there's this episode where Phoebe, after she gets married, decides to change her name, not to her husband's name, but to change her name to Princess Consuela Banana Hammock, and it's the silliest thing ever. And yet, it's so well written that it's really funny. It just works.
Did you ever wonder how Monica could afford that amazing New York apartment?
Yes, and in fact, I have the answer to that. They don't explain it. They don't hit this point too hard in the show, which is, I think, why people bring it up so much. But Monica is illegally subletting her grandmother's apartment, and the apartment is rent-controlled, meaning that she was probably paying, under $200 a month for that apartment, which those apartments do exist, but they're very rare.
And you know, the series also capitalized on influencing everything in pop culture, from the way women cut their hair. We all remember the Rachel cut, to the burgeoning coffeehouse movement.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I sure as heck remember the Rachel cut, because I did it myself many times before I realized, oh, this is a terrible haircut. And I don't mind saying that. I think Jennifer Aniston herself has had to say that many times, that she hated it. It was a really high maintenance haircut, and she hated seeing everybody in the world walking around with it. But listen, we all live and learn. And yeah, as you point out, the show influenced things that we don't even really recognize. You know, Friends took off right around the same time that Starbucks came out, and I think they both kind of helped each other. But Friends in particular had a huge influence on coffee culture, not just in the United States. I read multiple accounts of, you know, places like India and England, which, you know, where people traditionally drank tea, suddenly coffee became a popular drink to have, and everybody wanted, like, the no-foam latte, macchiato, whatever, you know what I mean? That was, like, a very 90s thing, when people stopped ordering cups of coffee and started ordering, like, you know, macchiatos and that kind of thing.
You know, I wonder how many people are aware they can still visit the Friends set if they take the Warner Brothers tour, which we did last year. That was really cool. So I have to ask you...
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah, it was great. I have to ask you, too, because your book deals with this. Even though the show was very, very funny, you also explore how the show grappled with serious society issues.
Yeah. That was really important to me, to bring in issues like that. You know, a lot of that's been talked about in the internet and stuff, but, you know, there's not a lot. In a book, you're able to really dive in and have a nuanced conversation about it, and I was able to interview all sorts of people about those things. You know, talking about the representation of trans characters and the lesbian wedding episode, and, you know, things like the lack of diversity on the show, which was really sort of startling, especially considering the fact that this was a show that took place in New York City. And, you know, a lot of people think that talking about that sort of ruins the show. I don't think it ruins the show. I think it is completely possible to say, I love Friends, and also, here are some really serious problems with it. So I hope that fans will pick it up and read about that, and maybe come away with just a deeper understanding of this beloved show.
And it ran for 10 seasons in prime time. Why do you think it ended after 10? Was it the ratings?
No. I mean, I think the ratings certainly would go up and down and stuff like that, but Friends was always, it was a tentpole. It was a really, really popular show that always had a strong audience. I think it mostly had to do with the fact that the cast were very much ready to move on, and so were the producers. You know, they'd done it for 10 years. And the characters themselves had really outgrown the premise of the show. The show was about, you know, people going through this sort of early 20-something to maybe early 30-something period of life, and they'd all grown up and had moved on beyond it. So it was time.
The author is Kelsey Miller. The name of the book is I'll Be There For You, The One About Friends. How can people learn more about your writing and get a copy of I'll Be There For You?
Well, you can get a copy of the book, which is out now, any of your local booksellers. You can also get it at Target. And you can find me on KelseyMiller.com. You can find me on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ms. Kelsey Miller. And I'm doing some fun sort of snippets of the book on Instagram. So feel free to, you know, send me questions.
It's a fun book, and it's been a fun interview. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success with your publishing.
Thank you so much.
That would be a nice Christmas gift for the Friends lover on your shopping list. Stay tuned. There's more coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live around the world at KQNA.com.
I'm Dr. Ed Goget, candidate for state representative. I've worked with drug addicts for 30 years. I don't want them going to jail, but the threat of jail is the number one reason my addicted patients get treatment. My patients often say that getting arrested was the best thing that ever happened because they couldn't stop on their own. Tough drug laws do save lives, but my opponent David Stringer wrote legislation to weaken Arizona's drug laws. It's a terrible idea. Here's what Mr. Stringer doesn't get. Most addicts just want to get high. They don't want treatment. But if we use tough drug laws to put them in treatment and keep them there, they wake up to what they've been doing. Patients tell me they hated treatment at first, but it saved their lives. Stringer's plan to weaken our drug laws would cost lives and make the opioid crisis worse. So let's keep tough drug laws and use them not to punish, but to get drug addicts the help they need. I'm Dr. Ed Goick, and I approve this ad, paid for by Ed Goick for state representative.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, and have a whole lot of fun. Country Bank's home equity conversion mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental financial option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015 for more details.
An equal housing lender, member FDIC.
In Arizona, your words still mean something. But for a Washington politician like Martha McSally, it doesn't mean much at all.
It's bad enough that independent fact-checkers caught McSally lying about her opponent, repeatedly making false and disgraceful claims.
But what's even harder to stomach? She lied about our future.
McSally told us she'd protect our Medicare, but she didn't.
She voted for a plan the Wall Street Journal said would essentially end Medicare.
And when she promised to protect millions of Arizonans who have pre-existing conditions,
she lied about that too, voting three times to gut those protections and let insurance companies deny care to people with diabetes, asthma, even cancer.
With every broken promise and every lie, McSally betrayed us.
If we can't trust Martha McSally's word, we sure can't trust her to be our senator.
Paid for by Women Vote. www.womenvoteproject.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Women Vote is responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, I hope you had a chance to watch the World Series now that the baseball season is officially over. One thing is for absolutely certain. Nobody was going to beat the Boston Red Sox this year. Think of how great a season the Red Sox had. They started the season 17-2. They won 108 games, went 108-54, winning exactly twice as many as they lost during the regular season. They knocked out the 100-win New York Yankees in the postseason. Then they knocked out the 103-win and defending World Series champion Houston Astros in the next round. And they defeated last year's World Series team, the last year's National League and this year's National League winner, the Los Angeles Dodgers, easily. The only reason the Dodgers forced a game five was because of that 18-inning game. So, hats off to the amazingly powerful Boston Red Sox for one of the greatest baseball seasons ever by any team. Want you to stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro. He comes your way at 3 o'clock, then Talk of the Town, Chino Valley at 4. Join me right back here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with my guests this week, Vicki Paris Goodman, for her review of the Phoenix Symphony, Jamie Nixon from Top Notch Property Management, and Nikki Bordelon from YRMC Patient Financial Services. That's Q&A Tuesday through Thursday at 2, when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.